Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name's Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 2nd. It's a 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the big book. We're on page 43, the third paragraph, beginning with once more and ending with must come from a higher power. We'll be closing out the chapter more about alcoholism. Today's readers are Jen P. reading our 12 steps, Anna J. reading our 12 traditions, Craig F. will be reading from the text, starting us off, Penny C. will be closing us out, LCM is backing us up today, and your newcomer greeter right at the end of the hour is Susan S.H., and Anne Marie M. will be hosting our second hour. So we've got an exciting lineup today. The reference numbers for yesterday, Sunday, September 1st, is 21704. So Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. I'm so sorry for that noise in the background. That is my background. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'll now ask Jen P. to read our 12 steps. Jen?
Hey, excuse me, good morning. This is Jen P., recovering compulsive overeater from New Jersey. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen P. from New Jersey. And for our 12 traditions, Anna J., would you read those for us?
Yes. Good morning, Anna J., compulsive overeater in New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thanks to Anna J. from New York. Appreciate your service. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 43, the third paragraph, last paragraph in the chapter, beginning with once more and ending with must come from a higher power. And I'd like to ask Craig F. to kick us off. Craig, you're up.
Okay, good. Thank you very much for your service this morning. This is Craig F., and I'm recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Except in a few cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. Well, this paragraph ends our study of step one all of our readings up till this point, from the doctor's opinion through Bill's story through There's a Solution and More About Alcoholism, are all focused on basically step one. We've admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. And the reading tomorrow will kick us off into step two. And so this is actually kind of a bridge, I think, between the steps, because it's telling us, it's summarizing the idea that we are powerless over food, that our mental defense has to come from a power greater than ourselves. And so that means that we're going to have a discussion about what that higher power is, and for us, and how we relate to it. But that's going to come tomorrow. But right now, what we have to do is to be firm in the idea that I don't have a mental defense against the first bite other than from a higher power. Now, we're not talking about the allergy when we talk about the first bite. The allergy hadn't been triggered the first bite. We're talking about the obsession and the mental blank spot. I don't have a defense against that, against picking up that first drink, except to maintain, to enlarge and perfect my spiritual life. That is my only defense. He kind of gives a a little bit of an out, just except in a few cases. But I think by and large, that if we have this disease, that we have to have this power greater than ourselves, this relationship with God, this spiritual way of life, or we're going to pick up. And, you know, the few cases could maybe be seen as referring to once in a while, sometimes I can muster a defense. You know, sometimes I could, before I got the program, muster a defense for a short period of time. I could go on a diet. I could force myself to go, but it never ended well, and it always ended. But they're saying that if I don't have a spiritual way of life, if I don't enlarge and perfect my spiritual way of life, my connection with this power greater than myself, that I have no other defense, that I'm eventually going to eat again, I'm going to fall into the disease. And so this is the wrap-up party for step one, and with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Craig F. from Oklahoma, for getting us started there. So good. I'm going to go ahead and we'll take a list of names we'll be reading and sharing on that chapter or on that paragraph. And what I would ask is that if you have shared in the last 3 days, that you hold back. We value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share so that others might share their experience too. So with that, let me go ahead and take a list of names. Who would like to share today?
Harlan G.
Melissa C.
Loretta H.
Harlan, Melissa, Loretta, I got you. Julie.
Dara F.
Lauren Grace.
Lauren Grace.
Jane F.
Jane F. Okay, let me stop there. Okay, Vasa, I can get you in. Vasa,
thank you so much.
And yeah, no problem. And then we'll have room for plenty more. But let me tell you who I have: Harlan G, Melissa C, Loretta H, Julie M, Dara F, Lauren Grace B, Jane F, and Vasa O. So, and if I missed you for any reason, let me know or pop in on the next round. So Harlan G, you go right ahead. You'll be followed by Melissa C.
Thank you very much, Barbara. And I'm going to ask that you thank you for your service. Would you time me, please? Because I don't have a timer with me.
Sure,
I'm
gladly.
Harlan G. Thank you. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm not in Scottsdale, Arizona right now. I'm actually across from Poop Park in Arlington Heights, Illinois. We all come into OA with our resume, and the resume is our first meeting or our second meeting. We say, I'm here and I'm a compulsive overeater because my mother stood on her head, or my dad juggled bowling pins, or this or that, or because of our nationality or what have you. Here is the real truth of the matter. There is no earthly explanation as to why I'm a compulsive overeater. My favorite title of any story in the back of the big book is Because I'm an Alcoholic. I am a compulsive overeater because I am a compulsive overeater. And in my mind, I have often thought, as none of the rest of you have, that if I had more money, or if I had a girlfriend, or if I was first baseman for the Cubs, or if I was the quarterback for the Bears, or something like that, maybe I wouldn't be a compulsive overeater. Or the greatest fantasy is, when I lose my weight, man, oh man, my troubles are going to be over. I'm going to be living on Easy Street. Untrue. Here's the truth. There is no earthly explanation or reason why I'm a compulsive overeater, and this is the nugget, there is no earthly solution. Drugs won't do it. I was on diet pills prescribed by a doctor when I was very young. Money won't do it. Fame won't do it. Fortune won't do it. Poverty won't do it. Abstinence doesn't treat the disease. There is one treatment for this disease that works. That's one. That's it. And that is a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. There are no other remedies. None. Not one known remedy. Surgery won't do it. Psychology won't do it. Nothing will do it. Only a power greater than myself that I choose to call God can emancipate me one day at a time from the ravages of a merciless obsession and a killer allergy. That's it. And what we're going to endeavor in the next chapter is we're going to find out how some of us block that solution from our minds and then how we actually get it. But the most important thing in my life is not allergies. The most important thing in my life is my relationship with my higher power. Now, abstinence is a requirement, no doubt, no doubt. I don't come away thinking Harlan said we don't have to be abstinent. That's not true. But it takes a backseat to this sentence that we're going to read, not tomorrow or for a few days. It says, the main object of this book is to help you find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And if it's the main object of the book, oh, it better be the main object of my life. Not sure where I am time-wise, so I'm going to pass. But thank you, Barbara, for your service. And have a great day, everybody.
Great. Thanks, Harlan G. Melissa C., you're up, followed by Loretta H.
Hey, good morning, Barbara. Thanks so much for your service this morning. Good morning, everybody. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered. Are you able to hear me? Because I just heard a little.
I can, yeah. Okay. And if anybody is unmuted, please mute. Thanks. I can hear you, though.
Thanks. Yeah, so I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this, and what I get from this whole chapter is I'm getting an indication that I'm a person who's going to require outside intervention of a spiritual kind, not medical intervention. I was thinking about this idea that no human power, like no effective, at certain times, I have no effective mental defense. And for me, that also included no effective medical defense, because following the treatment and suggestions of doctors required my mental agreement, required my cooperation. And, you know, I was thinking about way back, I was talking to a sponsee last night, we were just talking about some of our step one experiences. And, you know, and a big one for me was I had taken fenfen. It was like all the rage at one point. Everybody was taking it. And, you know, and it actually caused me not to want to eat. But I don't have a mental defense, because when I wanted to eat bad enough, I just didn't take it. And I think, like, how insane is that, to have the prescription for what you believe is going to be your solution, right? The thing, I thought it was my appetite that was broken. I thought, I just want to eat more than other people, and it must be a malfunction of my appetite. So if I can fix my appetite, you know, if I can nauseate myself enough, or if I can, you know, do something, take something that will remove my appetite, then I won't eat compulsively. But I just didn't take it. And that, I think, you know, is insane. And so this entire chapter, you know, goes through all, I say, like, it there's all these doors that I thought were going to be the way out for me, you know, whether it was my intellect, my intelligence, my pain, my humiliation, my fear, my memory, you know, the love of other people, all those things. And what this chapter really does is it closes the door on all those things that I thought were going to be the way out. And this last paragraph doesn't just close the door, but it locks it. And it says, like, there's only one other way out. And for me, that's been a relationship with God. And I know, like, the next chapter kind of helps me if I'm struggling with how am I going to get there if I'm not quite sure, I believe. And I'm looking forward to that next part of our reading. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Melissa C. Loretta H., you're up, and you're going to be followed by Julie M.
Good morning, Barbara, and good morning, all. Along with my precious God, you do save my life every day. This is Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. The paragraph above tells us we're 100% hopeless. So that dash in step one is hopelessness, but we are not helpless because it says apart from divine help. And initially it's a fellow in program, but then it has to become something bigger than myself that I really, really can trust. I am a real compulsive overeater. The issue is in my tissues. I don't know why, but it's there, and it has been since I've been a little girl. And so all I have today is to know that something bigger than me, and I call it God today, is going to help me navigate my life. Because, and I say this, and it's very controversial and people don't, but my abstinence has to be spiritual for me. I do have a food plan. I follow that. But that is not because I have a spiritual malady. I have, everything has to be weighed and measured in my life in spiritual essence. It must be, or I will. And it says in a book of mine, know K-N-O-W, God, K-N-O-W, peace, or N-O, God, N-O, peace. And then I'm going to take a peace. Because if I don't know God and His grace and mercy, and I use my third step, I call it my trust fund, carrying me through my thinking and my actions in my daily, daily life. And with that, I have a chance not to take a piece out of somebody else or to open that refrigerator. And for me, my anorexia is much more powerful. For me, not to start taking pieces out of my body because I'm actually eating my body. So with God's grace and mercy today, the work, as it says, I think it's 158 or 153, when he finds God, he finds himself. And that is only through working the steps and doing 10, 11, and 12 as I need to every single day, because today is the first day of the rest of my abstinence. And with that, I pass.
Great. Thanks, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Julie M., you're up, and you'll be followed by Dara F.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Julie M. from upstate New York. Thank you, moderator, for your service and everybody on the line. Powerful paragraph. One of the first things that I heard when I came into the rooms of OA was tradition three. All I needed was a desire to stop eating compulsively. Well, okay, well, how do you do that? And so for me, I had the desire, but I didn't know how to go about it. And it wasn't until I kept listening to everybody in the rooms and what their solution was to rely on a higher power. And so my journey in this particular 12-step program is a reliance on a higher power that I develop each morning through practicing steps 1, 2, and 3. And when I retire at night, 10 and 11, right, and 12 throughout the day. And it's like, I can't do this alone. I need all of you. I need all the spiritual principles. I need a gratitude list. And I especially need a higher power that I can rely on, which I call God each day. He's the only one that can relieve this compulsive overeating from me. And it's a journey. It's not one and done. It's a constant surrendering each day. And it's knowing that God has my back if I'm willing to do the step work. And with that, I pass, and everyone have a beautiful and abstinent day. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Julie M. from New York. Let me just remind everybody where we are, and then Dara F., you'll be coming up next. So we're on page 43, the third paragraph. last paragraph in More About Alcoholism, and it starts with once more, ending with must come from a higher power. So, Dara, you're up, followed by Lauren Grace B.
Hi, this is Dara F. from Northern Virginia, Manassas, Virginia. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm relatively new to visions, and I am absolutely 100% loving it. And really, I've been in the program for over 5.5 years and had over 5.5 years of abstinence. But a good amount of it has been white knuckle abstinence, and a good amount of it has been dieting with group support. And thank God I have been able to be abstinent under those conditions, sometimes conditionally, sometimes with difficulty. But I never think I understood the problem. And going through the doctor's opinion and step one, the way it describes it in the big book has really, really helped me to understand, it's not just about, making phone calls and committing my food plan and asking God for abstinence and trying to be a good person. It's about dealing with an allergy of the body and an obsession with the mind. And the allergy of the body is kind of, in some ways, the easier part to deal with, because if you never start eating the foods that are alcoholic foods to me, then I never have to deal with detoxing from the condition of the allergy being triggered. So I've been looking into a lot about what are my alcoholic foods and how can I make a food plan that keeps me on track with not getting into foods that are going to trigger me, so I don't have that. And I've also been working on how to explore my higher power and find one that works for me, not just praying to something, although praying to something as a start, but really fleshing that out. So anyway, I wanted to express my gratitude to everybody for all the wisdom and support I'm getting through this progress. And thank you for letting me share, and God bless everyone.
From Virginia, Lauren Grace B., you're up. You'll be followed by Jane F.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lauren Grace B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm in South Jersey, and I spell Lauren L-O-R-E-N. This is a great, great paragraph. And when Bill says once more, he's really trying to hammer it in. This is the last paragraph of the chapter, and once more I'm going to tell you, because this is really the crux of the chapter and the crux of the book. He wants to make it clear that we have no defense against the first bite. And he'd probably be even much stronger with his wording, but he knows that as addicts, we tuck tail and run. And it reminds me also of the phrase, with all the earnestness at our command. When I found something wonderful, I can't help but share it with others. And he says there is no effective mental defense. He's not saying there's no defense against the first bite, so we don't have that excuse. He's only saying we have no effective mental defense. I have a tremendously effective defense, but it doesn't come from me. God, my creator, and the ruler of the universe stoops down to defend me from myself, the disease, and the enemy's schemes. And I think of God as my armor, but I have to put it on. You know, if I go into battle and I choose not to wear armor or not to defend myself, I'll be killed. I won't survive. But with God as my defense, if I choose to seek God and put on my armor, I can't help but succeed if I seek his guidance and make a choice to do his will. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren Grace B. from New Jersey. And thanks for spelling your name. It's always great to know the states and some spellings, too, so we can find people on the members list. Jane F., you are up, and you'll be followed by Vasa O., and then we will be taking another list of names.
Good morning. My name is Jane S., and that's S as in Sparks. and I'm from New Hampshire. Can you hear me?
I sure can, and thanks for the correction.
Awesome.
That's great. Jane F. Got it.
Thank you very much, everyone, to making this meeting possible. I love listening to all of you. This is just such an amazing way to live life. And I love this paragraph. It just hit me. It hit me so hard this morning, you know, that my only defense, my mental defense, has to come from a higher power. And you know, I've been reading this over and over and hearing this for the last 15 years of my life. And you know what? It's finally making sense. The only way that I can find that power or source that power 100% is to stop trying to play God myself. And that's quite a humbling thing for me to say. I've been trying to manage and control everything in my life, including people in my life, for the longest time. And here I am at just turning 64 years old, and I'm finally realizing that the only way to source this power 100% is to stop relying on myself and relying on God completely. And how do I do that? One day at a time. But first, I had to put the food down and be honest about it. And then I had to get into the steps right away. And I actually asked someone 2 months ago to help me start walking through these steps honestly this time, and deeply, and sincerely, and genuinely. And here I am 2 months in now, and I'm at my amends place. And it's kind of embarrassing to say that there was so many amends in my life that I have yet to do. But here I am, and I'm not fearful anymore. I'm not full of shame about it. I'm just doing it. God is guiding me one day at a time. And I've made reservations to go to the seacoast, where I got sober and I spent a lot of time drinking and eating in my early sobriety and did a lot of harm. And I'm going back there to make restitution. And it's just, I'm actually excited. I leave tomorrow and I'm really looking forward to it. I know that God will guide me. And, you know, God is number one in my life today. I know that I cannot put anything else in front of God. Otherwise, I'll lose my sobriety and I'll lose this freedom from food that I finally have again. And I've only had it for the last 2 months, and it's beautiful. I've had it once before, but to get it again, to have a second chance, is miraculous. So I don't want to give it back. And I know that when I finish these steps, I'm going to turn right around and put my hand out and help another person to walk through these steps, because that's what God wants me to do today. And I know that and feel that in my heart. I'm a real compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful to understand that today. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thanks, Jane S. from New Hampshire. We can hear the spark. Jane S. like Sparky. Vasa O., you are up, and then we'll be taking another list of names.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Barbara, for your service. And I'm grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And I did start with the big book because my sponsor was AA, but struggling with the food addiction, and she was the one that introduced me to the big book. And I was just shocked to find out about the disease, about the allergy of the body. And I over the years, I used all the defense I could by myself, by my own willpower, and everybody telling me, doctors, whatever, what to do, how to do it, and I did it, but none of that worked. And I was just so ready when I came to the program. And my sponsor reassured me, you know, the only way we can do this, if we find a power greater than ourselves. And I said, well, I can't see, I can't touch this higher power. How is this higher power going to do it? She said, trust me. You don't have to touch. You don't have to see. Just believe it. And you will come to believe as you go through the steps. And as I said, I started having that relationship with God right from the first night I came from my meeting. I got on my knees and I surrendered. I said, I did what she told me to do. I didn't know what to do. I said, okay, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I surrendered in the bathroom on my knees. And I asked God, she said, ask God to forgive you for all your sins you've committed in your life. I didn't even know what sins were at that time, but I did it anyways. And I prayed to God, please help me. And I felt this power go from my head to my heart. It was, I didn't know this God was going to strike me down or raise me. Well, he raised me. I've been saved, which I, from this food addiction that I, it was killing me. It was, I was going to die. So, I mean, this, I just, she's a scratch food, scratch alcohol and put food. And I love the vision for you. I came in when you guys started, like, there were like only 169 people, I believe. And I've stayed, and I love going from one paragraph to another. English is my second language, and that even worked even better for me. And just to listen and watch and listen to other people share about the experience, strength, and hope. I did not know about the food addiction. I didn't know about the allergy. So I learned about the addiction and then what the solution was. Surrender, go to meetings, do the tools, do the steps the way they're laid out one by one. And I'm just so grateful. I have a life. I came when I was 41 years old. I didn't think I was going to make my 50th birthday. I'm proud to say I'm going to be 80 years old next year. And the life I've been given through the steps is unbelievable. And I've gone through some sad and awful things too.
Time.
Thank you. But I never went to the food. I deal with life the way God puts them in my life. Thank you.
Thanks, Vasa O. So we now will have room for other shares. Let me remind you where we are. Page 43, third paragraph. Once more, beginning with once more, it's the last paragraph, more about alcoholism.
Leia.
So we'll go ahead. So Leia.
Hang on.
So right after Leia, was it Freya? Who was in right after Leia?
Maisie C.
Judith S. P.
Jennifer
Flat
C.
E.
Oh, right.
From
so, UK? Gotcha, Claire.
Florida.
Was that Cheryl?
Toby K.
Yes, Cheryl L. Florida.
Maisie C.
Okay, got you, Maisie. Let me tell you who I have. I've got a jumble, and I know I'm missing a lot. Leia, Judith S.P., Maisie C., Cheryl L., who else?
Toby
Jennifer.
Claire.
That's who I missed. I knew I had you, and I forgot you, Claire. So who else?
Toby K.
Uh-huh, Toby, got you. So Leia, Judith, Maisie C., Claire, Cheryl L., Toby K., Jennifer C. I'll put you guys on. I am sure we're going to run out of time, so I'm sorry. But let's see who we can do. Maybe everybody will be brief. We'll see. So, Leia F., you're up, and we'll be followed by Judith S.P.
Thank you so much, Barbara. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leia S. I am from Brooklyn, New York. And this paragraph starts with, once more. That ought to tell me something. And you have three times the word defense in such a short paragraph. Well, let me tell you guys, I was the real McCoy. I am a compulsive overeater. This disease is so fickle. It is so powerful that I need a defense. I need a defense for sure. I'm coming up against 10 years of back-to-back abstinence, and it's like, this disease can start talking to you. I mean, come on, after so many years, you didn't even, after this, they developed so many good things. They made different things that can really... They can really tempt you. My disease does not let up. I need to practice this once more. What is it that I have to practice? My higher power. Every single day, every single morning, and every single part of the day. Because truthfully, it doesn't even work just with the food. It works in my whole life because I didn't even realize how much I need that higher power and that I call God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Leah S. And Judith S.P., you're up. You're going to be followed by Maisie C.
Good morning, Barbara. My name is Judith S.P. from Maryland. Thank you, God. So grateful to be recovered and in vision and following God's lead. It has been mentioned the once more. And for me, every moment, because of my impulsive, defensive protection of Judith before coming into program, I would always go with the first thought. I wouldn't even think again. It was about me. It was about you not doing. And the food was my solution and all that stuff from history. But now I can pause and say, one more thought, Judith, one more potential action. Quiet down and think about it and turn to your higher power. And I looked up, as often people do, the definition of defense, the ability to protect against attack or harm. And I used to be a very defensive person. I still am to a degree, I have to admit. But people would say, why are you so defensive? Because I was trying to protect this little, poorly self-esteemed individual who at times didn't even want to be alive. So I was coming out full guns. Don't tell me. I don't need to hear it from you and so forth. Now I can quiet down. I can pause when I escalate and turn to my higher power. My higher power is that which is stronger, more beautiful, more loving, more unconditionally accepting of me than I could ever be. It's not intense in the sense that it's aggressive or even assertive. Sometimes it's passive, doing nothing. So I am so grateful to be here. I want to give time for others because many want to share. Thank you, and I love belonging to Vision. I pass.
Thanks, Judith S.P. Maisie C., you're up, and everybody's doing great on time. Thanks so much. Maisie C.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Barbara, for your service and everybody for being here. I'm Maisie C. from Worcester, Massachusetts, and I am so, so grateful for this program, this meeting. I came here on May 1st. And got abstinent May 1st. And it says here about his defense must have come from a higher power. And, I always thought myself very spiritual. I love God. I've been working a Christian program for many, many years. And I kept saying, why can't I do it? You know, I love God. I know why I couldn't do it, because I wasn't willing to surrender all. I was loving God and doing God's work, but not doing what was important to clear my head. You know, it wasn't just about the weight on my body. It was the weight in my head that was dragging me down. And I've learned so much from each and every one of you. Your wisdom is amazing. I mean, it just blows my mind. And this, I've been in program for 24 years, and this is the very first time that I've past 3 months of abstinence. And I always white-knuckled it, and I always, you know, I didn't work the program to the best of my ability. This morning, I just finished reading the 12th step with my sponsor. I've completed my fourth step, and I'm in just a different place today. And it's all because of surrendering all, not keeping one little bit of my will. I wanted to hold on to something. I just had to hold on to something. I don't. And I wanted to do it my way. And my way always got me into trouble. When I surrender all and give it all to God, I have a much better life. My life has been so good the last 4 months, even though there's been crucial things happening in my life, like having to have my dog that I had for 12 and a half years, and he was my whole world. I wouldn't have been able to go through that if I hadn't have been absent, if I didn't have these meetings to come to, because he was the most precious little bichon you ever wish to see. But I can do it because I have the love of Christ walking hand in hand with me, and I'm not in the sugar and flour. My aches and pains are gone. I'm just a whole different person. With that, I'll pass so more people can speak. Thank you so much for being there for all of us.
Thanks, Maisie C., and so sorry about your loss. Claire, you are up. Claire from the UK. And Claire will be followed by Cheryl L. Claire, we can't hear you. Star one.
Can you hear me now?
We can, yes.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic in Cornwall in the UK. And thank you so much for your service, Barbara. I'm going to be really brief because I'm going to just repeat so much of what's been said. And it's been a great meeting. But just to pick up once more, you know, once again, and I would just really, Bill W. said it over and over. My illness has said it over and again, you know, to me. Once again, once more, it needs to prove to me that I have no effective mental defense. And the real bit I wanted to pick up on was at certain times, because you know what, at certain times I did have an effective mental defense. And that for me kept me in bondage to my disease for years and years and years, because I would always latch on to that time that I could control it, that time I did just have one, that time that I did, you know, get back onto it the next day. And you know, there's a speaker, funny enough, who's you know, who I've heard before, who's you know, and she says, you know, that my disease doesn't even have to tell me different lies. You know, it tells me the same lies over and over. And at certain times, I believe them. I don't know why. It's like the gun with two bullets in the chambers, and most of the time I can fire that gun and there's no consequences. But on one or two occasions, at certain times, then my thinking is absolutely of no avail to me at all. And God willing, you know, just for today, that I remember that at certain times, I don't know which times they are. I have no idea. So I have to surrender the whole lot. And I'll pass with that because I'd really love to hear other people. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Claire E. Cheryl L. And for anybody who popped in, last paragraph and more about alcoholism once more. So Cheryl L. and you're followed by Toby K. Cheryl L. Star one. There you go.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks. This is Cheryl L. I'm calling from Florida. I wanted to claim my seat again this morning and thank you all for your beautiful shares. I can definitely relate to this paragraph, no mental defense against the first bite. You know, I had a relapse that lasted for 4 years, you know, and during that 4 years, I kept trying different ways of getting back and, you know, having control, you know, over my eating, over my life. But the thought that came before that relapse was that, and that's it. It was a thought that I had, that I like eating healthy. I had done it for 7 years, and I knew what was good for me, and I felt like I was going to continue with it. I thought I was going to continue with it. But I already had that lurking notion in the back of my mind that I was missing certain foods and that I was going to bring those foods back into my life again. That lurking notion was there. And I let that lurking notion come in place of the notion that, you know, I can't do this. God can and will do it for me if I'm only willing. When I came back in and I got a new sponsor, I started working the steps out of the big book, you know, with her. She really had me, you know, buckle down, you know, on reading the big book, on studying it, and on developing this relationship with a higher power. I started writing letters to God and listening for God's response. And, you know, I read through some of those letters today. They're short. And the overriding thing for me was really that I just needed to let go. I needed to let go and let God love me and let God do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I'm still working on that today. I can be such a doer. I can be, you know, overtax myself, take on more than I really, really should. And then I find myself exhausted. And, you know, today God tells me, you know, I need to rest and I need to take time for myself and time to meet with Him. And so, you know, that's where I'm at today. And, you know, with God's grace, I've stayed abstinent coming up on 2 years now, and I'm working with others, and I'm grateful. And the thought of picking up that compulsive bite, it just isn't there anymore. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Cheryl L. And we're going to Toby K. And you'll be followed by Jennifer C.
Hi, this is Toby K. from New York. Yeah, boy, I really appreciated the shares today. Sometimes when I buy these takeout foods, you know, they have all these spices in it, and it really gets me, it gets my appetite going. And last night I had that experience. I said, well, you know, I really should cut down a little on my protein. You know, I go to sleep late, and then in the morning I'm too full, and blah, blah, blah. But last night I did not heed that message, and I ate a little more protein than I planned to do, and I was getting a stomach ache, and I go, well, what else could I eat? And I'm saying, is this insanity or what? I want to eat more, and I'm getting a stomach ache, so what do I want to do, get a bigger stomach ache? So my defense must come from a higher power, but I didn't think of my higher power, I just thought of my poor stomach. But I like what the first speaker said also about blaming others. My parents came from the Holocaust, and the only thing they could do was feed me, feed me, feed me, and do tricks to feed me, and I would throw up, and then they would feed me some more. So I said, well, what do you want from me? That my mother, you know. But that's not the answer. The higher power is the answer. And who gave me this mother? Oh, God gave me this mother. So I really am indebted to this mother for giving me life. And I have to be indebted to God for giving me life. Thank you, I pass.
Thanks, Toby K. Jennifer C., you are up, and you may be our last share today.
Hey, good morning. What a beautiful meeting. Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. So there's a lot packed in this one paragraph. You know, the first thing is I have to remember that the only relief is entire abstinence. I give my will and my life over to God in that very significant way. You know, if I'm still struggling with abstinence somewhere in steps 1, 2, and 3, right? In the OA 12 and 12, it says that when we truly, truly take the third step, we cannot fail to recover. When we truly, truly take the third step, I have to be sold on the ideas outlined in this book. And the first one is that I have to know when that first bite happens, right? So I have no effective mental defense against the first bite. What's the first bite? I got to define it, right? I have to know when that first bite happens, because it's different than alcohol. It's very clear with alcohol. It needs to be just as clear for me. Otherwise, I'm still in the doctor's opinion. I have to get clear on entire abstinence so I know what to give my heart over to. This is my surrender. I have to get clean and sober so that I can go through the rest of this work with a clear mind. And reality is, this is a process, right? It tells me in the previous page that I have to make up my mind to go through this process. Well, I've already gone through the steps. Go through them again. Well, I'm going through the steps over and over again. Where are you at with the tools, right? Where are you at with the tools? How many calls are you making? What are you doing when you want to eat? How many meetings are you going to? I'm going to, you know, 3 meetings a week. Try 90 and 90. How about that? Try 90 and 90. Have you done that yet? No, but I'm going through the steps. Okay, how about we bring the tools and the steps together and see what God does, right? This program works. It works when I give my heart and soul to it. I would drive miles and miles and miles and spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars and days on end in the food. days on end in the food? Am I willing to go to any lengths for my recovery? Because this disease will take me out. Do I believe it? Because reality is, it will also lie to me and remind me of all the times that I have a mental defense, right? So at certain times, I have no effective mental defense, which means at certain times I do. And it's going to remind me of all the times I do and how it's not that bad and how I'm going to get back on track because I got back on track last time and I'm going to get back on track again. So what's one more day? In reality, I'm in relapse. The back on track are not getting back on track. They're in relapses. I'm in a cycle of relapse. My disease tells me I'm going to get back on track. Lies upon lies upon lies. So can I give my heart and soul to this program? Steps 1, 2, and 3 with all my heart and soul. And that's where it is. If you're still in the food, you're on steps 1, 2, and 3. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jennifer C. So thank you to everyone who shared. And I'm so sorry we are out of time for sharing in this part of the meeting, but hang tight for like 5-10 minutes and there'll be plenty more time. So thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for that second unrecorded hour of study immediately following this closing. The share ID, if you want to re-listen to this phenomenal meeting, but today's share ID is 21705. 21705. It's for today's meeting. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and we'll ask Penny C. to read our closing, A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only through Keep You Until Then.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Please no interruptions. Let Penny C. continue. Thanks, Penny. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry, Barbara. I'm going to start from the beginning. Is that okay?
Sure, if you want to.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you